Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Jim, good, bad, crazy martinis, as always, and some of these are doozies today. We start with the good martini, of course, and we always heard from Nancy Pelosi, we have to pass the bill to find out what's in it. And so we passed Obamacare, at least the Democrats did. Americans never liked it. They still don't like it. And it turns out as we get closer and closer to full implementation, they hate it even more. And this is from NBC News and the Wall Street Journal poll. So you know that it's really getting bad. 49% of Americans say they believe the Affordable Care Act is a bad idea. Just 37% say the plan is a good idea. Other polls have had that worse. We've talked about repeal numbers in the mid-50s or even high 50s at certain times. But these are the worst numbers that this NBC Wall Street Journal poll has ever seen. 38% of respondents say that they and their families will be worse off under the health care law. Only 19% say they'll be better off. That's a 2-to-1 margin, obviously. Democrats say they'll be better off under the health care law, but only 35% to 11%. So that means over half of them have no idea whether they'll be better off or not. Republicans say they'll be worse off 67% to 4%. So even though the president at that press conference a few weeks ago, Jim, tried to say, hey, for most of you, everything's already been implemented. And if you haven't noticed anything bad, then, well, it's not going to get bad. That's been proven time and time again not to be true, given the premium rises and the job losses with folks not wanting to hire a certain amount of people so they can avoid some of these penalties and mandates and so forth. So no matter what the president does here, Jim, it means that the American people hate this idea, and that's good.
The numbers themselves in this are not shocking. And it's worth noting we've actually seen worse numbers in other polls, but this is the worst NBC Wall Street Journal poll has found it. And you know it must have given no joy to the folks at MSNBC to report these numbers. Two interesting points about it. One is that it has been this absolute article of faith amongst Democrats and the Obama administration and the left that, well, people will learn to love it. They eventually, look, it's just because they've heard all this scary talk from Republicans and conservatives. Once they see it, you're going to love it. It's kind of like the blind date where, you know, the guy keeps telling you, she's got a really great personality. You got to meet her. And, you know, now the date is here and Americans do not like it. And, you know, yes, in the next coming year, there'll be even more implemented, but it's not like the fun parts are kicking in. You know, the tax for not having health insurance, that's not something people are going to really be excited about. The higher premiums for a whole bunch of folks, they're not going to like that anymore. These numbers are not going to go up hunky-dory. And the second thing, which is interesting, this number comes out right after House Democrats basically have decided we have no choice. We have to run on Obamacare in 2014. We can't hide from this. We lost it. They're convinced themselves that they lost in 2010 because they didn't talk about Obamacare enough. Right. Now, in some cases, they really did try to run from it and pretend it didn't happen and all that stuff. So the answer is bear hug. They're going to try to embrace it. Well, based on these numbers, you go right ahead, fellas. You know, you go right ahead and do that because that seems like a formula to have 2010 all over again in the 2014 midterms.
All right, on to the second martini now, Jim. And this is the story that's certainly going to be getting a lot of the attention here in Washington today and possibly for days to come. You may remember Democrats were apoplectic and truly outraged back in the middle of the Bush administration when they found out that the administration, through our intelligence services, were monitoring well-suspected terrorists and their phone records and eavesdropping on those calls to find out who they might have contact with in the United States. Now we find out the NSA is not eavesdropping on calls, but instead of trying to pinpoint who might be the problems, they're just gathering tens of millions of phone records, specifically through Verizon, according to this new report from the Guardian newspaper in England. And this started in April. This order, which was approved by the FISA court, runs through July. There seems to be absolutely no rationale here other than to say, well, maybe we'll find out that a terrorist called one of these people and we'll have it on file. So let's just go ahead and keep collecting tens of millions of people's phone records who, as of right now, we have no evidence that they're engaged in anything criminal whatsoever.
Back around May 2006, the USA Today did a big story on this that basically something akin to what we're hearing about now was going on. And this was not, it's emphasized, this is not wiretapping. This is basically taking the phone call records and kind of analyzing that. And apparently the idea is that you get enough of them, you can find patterns that are likely to lead you to data mining, basically. Unsurprisingly, back in the Bush administration, people rose up and said, wait a minute, this is terrible. This is not, you know, looking for a needle in a haystack. This is, you know, this is not targeting people. This is taking basically everybody's records and looking through them and hoping that, you know, your analysis can lead you to find terrorists and stuff. And by the way, it's worth noting this went into effect apparently right after the Boston bombing. So that's presumably how this, you know, kicked in. It went for a three-month period. If you have Verizon, right now, the, you know, NSA is looking at your phone records, or at least they have your phone records and can look at your phone records and is probably going through them in some sort of data mining process. While, you know, we all want to be safe from terrorists and all that stuff, the idea that all of your phone records have to be turned over to the NSA and no one's allowed to know about it seems like a very big step, and certainly not in keeping with then-candidate Obama's criticism of the Bush administration way back when. Obviously, a lot of good material for jokes this morning. Obviously, there is an Obama phone program after all. This is what Verizon meant by their shared plan. You and I are now in the status of Associated Press reporters, Greg. You know,
excellent.
And perhaps most phenomenally for those who have had to deal with Verizon in the past, the really astounding thing is that what does it take to get Verizon to respond to you? Apparently a court order. It'll be interesting. If you're a civil libertarian who voted for Obama, well, then you're just a sucker. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. You're an absolute fool for believing these sorts of things. I understand we're now seeing the likes of Dianne Feinstein come out and say, hey, look, this is defending the country, which I don't remember her taking that tone during the Bush administration days. What's fascinating is that the administration has now acknowledged it. We're going to be interested to see whether there's any good sense of, you know, so why did they do this? Now that we've caught the Boston bombers, is there a reason that they still need to be collecting this data? How does Obama justify this secret collection of data, you know, in contrast to his previous records? The idea that, you know, that well, it wasn't okay for them to do it, but it's okay for us to do it. And as I said this morning, at this point, sometime in the near future, we will see a New York Times article talking about how Obama was probably so conflicted over this, Greg, and he yes, he did it, but he felt so bad about it. And the likes of Jane Mayer, who basically accepted the angst explanation for the drone policy, will be okay. Also keep in mind, Department of Justice will definitely be investigating the NSA leak. You know, the likes of the Guardian reporters, they can now count on having their emails searched and stuff like that. Hope you're protecting your sources, fellas, because Eric Holder's on the loose. The idea that this is an administration that, you know, back in early May was warning us about tyranny lurking around the corner and how we should reject the voices talking about tyranny seems pretty ironic in light of that, Greg.
It certainly does. You mentioned Dianne Feinstein, the frustration with her not seeing a problem with this compared to where she was in the Bush administration. You'll be thrilled to know that Al Gore finds this idea obscenely outrageous. So I don't know that I feel any better having Al Gore agreeing with us than I am frustrated by Dianne Feinstein not being consistent on this. So I'm not
really
sure.
He's really just upset about the carbon emissions of the Cray supercomputers that the NSA has to use to search through this stuff. I mean, if they were doing it all by paper and they're chopping down trees and stuff. If they were carving into stone, these nice little pastries. If they were carving in stone, Al Gore presumably wouldn't have a problem with it. I guess we should give Gore a little bit of credit for this. Having said that, Al Gore does decide to stand up to the Obama administration several years after everyone stopped listening to Al Gore. So I'm really not sure this is going to move any numbers in the public's opinion on this.
All right, on to the crazy martini now, Jim. And I got to say, this has been a Hall of Fame week for the crazy martini. Monday, we had Richard Windsor, the EPA official who didn't exist, being repeatedly honored for his work at the EPA. Tuesday, we talked about terrorists getting resume enhancement classes at Guantanamo Bay. Yesterday, Dan and I talked about the federal worker who was claiming injuries and workers' comp who got busted on that fraud for being seen on The Price is Right and being able to spin the wheel vigorously. And today we go back to the EPA and a new report we found at govexec.com, which says a warehouse maintained by contractors for the Environmental Protection Agency contains secret rooms full of exercise equipment, televisions, and couches, according to an internal audit. EPA's Inspector General found contractors used partitions, screens, and piled-up boxes to hide the rooms from security cameras in the 70,000-square-foot building located in Landover, Maryland. The warehouse used for inventory storage is owned by the General Services Administration and leased to the EPA for about $750,000 per year. The warehouse contained multiple unauthorized and hidden personal spaces created by and for the workers that included televisions, refrigerators, radios, microwaves, chairs, and couches. These spaces contained personal items including photos, pinups, calendars, clothing, books, magazines, and videos. So you wonder why your loved one who works at the EPA suddenly has a hankering for staying at the office late. I think we can understand that now.
That's a lot nicer than our house. looking at that and thinking, like, Greg, you're by the way, just to double check, you're absolutely sure this wasn't the Onion, right?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, right now there's some Onion editor looking at a screen saying, I got nothing. I can't. how do you parody that? This is also kind of making me feel a real yearning for Ronald Reagan firing all the air traffic controllers. And just saying, you're all fired. You can reapply for your jobs tomorrow, and maybe we'll hire you back. And that's kind of – when you see something like this, this is kind of what you want to do with everybody at the EPA. That I'm sure not everybody at the EPA is a terrible person. But when you see something like this going on, you're kind of left just befuddled of just how much lack of oversight, how much unprofessionalism, how much lazy – like, here's the thing. They did this so they could relax and be lazy. But clearly, Greg, this took an enormous amount of effort and planning on their part. That if they actually did their jobs, they'd actually get a lot more work done and, you know, not have to stay late and do all that stuff. The other thing is, Greg, I don't know about you, I would never, ever build a man cave out of a bunch of boxes in the government White House, in a government warehouse. And you know why that is, Greg?
What's that?
The Ark of the Covenant. You never know what's in any of those boxes. Hey, this is Goldfing. Should I open it? No, no.
Face melts. Yeah, yeah. That could be dangerous. Yeah. Hopefully it wasn't the same warehouse, but
we later learned in the fourth movie that some dispute ever happened. Area 51 was that particular government warehouse. But it sure was this like bizarre concept when you know Spielberg made Raiders of the Lost Ark in 1980. And now we learn that there are giant, vast government resources where things can get lost, including EPA employees for like long stretches of time. And everybody's like, wait, whatever happened to Smith? He went down the hall somewhere, and he's somewhere in those boxes, and man, he's been gone for hours. You know, and meanwhile, he's, you know, watching the NBA finals or something like that. So just bizarre and distressing. And each day, you think your expectations of government can't get much lower, and then voila.
Exactly. Well, first of all, I hope the taxpayers weren't paying for these little college dorm rooms. I guess they are cheaper to go back to college than actually paying tuition. And lastly, you're right. The fourth Indiana Jones never took place. It ended with the Holy Grail in The Last Crusade. Jim, I don't know how we're going to try and top this tomorrow, but we look forward to trying, and we look forward to talking with you again on Monday. Have a great weekend.
All right. See you next time, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join Dan Foster and me for the 3 Martini Lunch tomorrow, and that'll be Friday on the next 3 Martini Lunch.